So I'm conscious of the time, and there's a lot of material, so away we go. The reason that Tim and I started the company in Rupsch was to mobilize resources around a project called Solid. And Solid is an open source technology available for everybody that was created out of MIT over some years. And InRupt brings resources to Solid to help people such as you begin to understand what it can do for your citizens and your customers. So what I will talk about is, what is Solid? What do we do as InRupt? And then I leave you with some use cases. We have use cases around the world, some of them very local to you, actually. So I will leave you with some thoughts about those use cases. Huh? Oh, I see. It builds. Excuse me. The marketing people go mad. The web today, we're all familiar with. We log in to an application. We give this application our details, and then it gives us back a piece of value. That's the centralized web. In each of these examples here, the vendor who creates the application takes our data away and stores it in a database. And they work on the data, and then they pass back the value. So in each time I open an application, the data about me goes away to the remote database, and no other databases know this except for that one vendor. And so over and over again, I keep creating versions of me, pieces of me, in many, many places on the web. And there's lots of them. The other problem with the web is that every time I need to go through an exercise to enter into a system, it asks me for all these details. Over and over, it asks me for all these details. And that's because every single vendor needs, or believes they need, yet again, over and over, versions of me. When in actual fact, there's only one me, and the data, I have all the data, but yet every time I need to recreate this data. And again, it's because it's a centralized web. And there are a lot more problems, but the essence of it is that the centralized applications live in a relationship with the user, where the user's data and the application are combined. There's no separation between the identity of the user, the data that the user has, and the software that wants to service that user. It's all interconnected. And that's very, very problematic. And if you look at your phone, maybe 140 applications on my phone, and 140 versions of me. The only person who doesn't have me is me. All these vendors have got a piece of me, but I don't exist anywhere. I exist in pieces. And that's hugely problematic. Not because I want to exist as a whole, but because anybody who wants to service me has to repetitively ask me for the same information. And then they only get a very limited amount of data about me. So the ability to service me is very narrow, very, very, very channeled. And that's not the way the web was supposed to be. And the problem that really exists is twofold. Data, as a consequence of this, is always managed in a different way. The way one vendor manages my data is very, very different the way another vendor manages my data. The way government agency manages my data can be very, very different to the way another government agency manages my data. So regulations are beginning to try to create some delimiters, some parameters, and the regulations like GDPR to insist that you can have my data maybe, but you've got to treat it in a particular way. That only scratches the surface of making this web more manageable. And GDPR exists because the web is broken the way it is. The other problem is there's no standard way to store data. Every vendor stores it in a different way. So the way the data is written in the database is different every time. The way that the protocols to access the data, different every time. And what sometimes people can try to do, is developers can try to do, is to use a thing called an API to interface with the data. But every API is different. And it's an expensive exercise to access these different databases and to pull information and try and use it. It's very expensive. And the problem in the way the data is stored is that, I'm sorry, is that a question? No, okay. The way the data is stored is different. So if I write an application, I want to know your name. I don't have any idea how your name is stored in the database. So that's really problematic. And so then, of course, technology is trying to manage this problem. And so the first thing that we see evidence is some of the big vendors give you one way to identify. And so you use your Google login in many applications. I do. Facebook does the same and so on, where one identity is acknowledged by other applications to save you having to keep on entering it. The problem is this exacerbates the problem. This makes it even worse because now Google is your gateway to the web, or Facebook is your gateway to the web. And again, it makes worse this centralization. Another project that's pretty well known is called the Data Transfer Project between Facebook and Google and Amazon and Apple and so on. They agreed ways where you can take your data from Facebook and put it in Google, or take it from Google and put it in Facebook. And yet it's your data, but they trade it amongst themselves. Again, it doesn't solve the problem. It just gets them out from underneath some of the pressures they're under. And the third way this happens is standardization. And I apologize for so much English on this slide, but the essence of it says, you know, there are 14 standards. And so somebody says, hey, this is, we need one standard. Let's have a one standard. And everybody, we're going to have one standard. Now you've got 15 standards. And that's not the solution to the problem. This is the solution to the problem. We all know how to go on the web to a unique place. We type in www. Fill it in, and we know with high confidence where we're going to go. And this is the solution to the problem of the way the web is broken today. Solid relies on this mechanism. It's already a standard. Using this mechanism, we have a solution, and it's called Solid. And so Tim, you know, having invented the web, sees a way to put it back to where it should be. And so I like this expression from Tim because it's true. We have a bigger web ahead of us than we've experienced as long as we all work together. So what is Solid? So the solution to the problem, we think, is decentralization, and a fabulous way to do that is called Solid. So Solid separates those interconnected pieces we talked about earlier into different pieces. You have your identity, you have your data, and you have applications. Along the way, in my experience of the web, it was like the early days of computers. When you bought it, most of you probably weren't around at the time, but you used to buy a computer and had a screen, a keyboard, and two drives. And in one drive, you put a disk with the data. In the other drive, you put the disk with the application. And the application ran, looked at the data, and gave you the results on the screen. And it was a pure way to do this, and that's what Solid does. It separates the applications, the data, and the user, the identity of the user. And it starts by saying a user exists, or an object like your camera. Devices, IoT devices, they do the same here. You have one unique way to be identified, www.hartmut.com, www.carlos.com. It's more sophisticated than that, but the essence of it's how it looks. You have your web identity. And then everything that's done is built on standards, on open standards. No secrets, all open specifications. And that's how the web was built. And so that's how Solid works. If you can use a browser, you can use Solid. And then pulling apart the data and the applications. So now, if you've got your data, an application can work for you, and it doesn't matter that they're separate. The application can live in one place, data lives in another. So they're the principles, but how does it all work? This is where it gets a little bit technical. So you, if you want more technical, please let me know, else I'll keep it at a level I understand. So the way it works is it starts with a thing called your pod. It's where you keep your data. And the data is stored in the pod in a particular way, in a standard way. So when data is written in the pod, if I want to have access to it, I don't need to know anything more than it's Solid, because that tells me how it's stored. I don't need to go look in particular ways unique to you. I know exactly how to find it. And then it's controlled by you. So you decide, I'm going to let Wagner see this. Vinicius can see that. And you control it, you permission it. You decide who gets to see what. And it's unique to you. So it's where all your data lives. And then applications can work with that data. So it starts with the pod. And the way it works is that you have an identity, and it's usually managed by a provider, an identity provider. And in this diagram here, you'll see the identity provider. You see the user down the bottom, and you see the applications in the middle, calendar, bank, medical. And then managing all of this is a thing called a Solid server. And the Solid server oversees how you validate your identity. Once your identity is validated, then it can determine if the application has permission to access your data. And if so, it allows the application.
Where's your proof that you don't?
Excuse me?
What's that interference? Go.
Okay. So again, you know, the you have your identity management, you have users with their data in pods, and applications that work. And then the Solid server manages all of this. The Solid server directs those applications to you. It determines, have you granted the application permission? And if so, it allows the application, under your guidance, under your control, to access the data in your pod. And you can decide where you want the pod to live. Do you want it to live on your laptop, on your phone? Do you want it to live in the cloud, managed by you? Do you want it to live with your government, who looks after it for you? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's immaterial. You don't need to determine that. You can just decide it. And then it gets taken care of. And then the way that you manage data in your pod is you grant access. You say, yeah, okay, I will let my bank see this piece of my data, but not everything else. I will let my doctor see this kind of information, but not that kind of information. I will let my family see these photographs, but not my finance data, not my health data. And you determine that. And then you decide what they can do to the data. Can they read it? Can they write to it? Some applications, you want those folks to write to your pods. But now the applications, they don't have any choice over permission. You get to do that. The application doesn't need to take your data away. You keep it. The application needs to make sure that you've granted permission, but the developer can write an application without knowing how the data is stored, without knowing how the API works. They just write it to the specification and they're done. And developers love this because now they don't have to take your data and be responsible for it. What I discovered, most organizations, companies, I don't mean government agencies, but companies, they don't want your data. They won't have access to it, but they don't want to be responsible for it. And this system provides absolutely that. And the idea is, and we're going to talk about some real world examples of this, the idea is that there will be an ecosystem of servers and pods and applications that, because they are all written to the same specification, they can interact. And we're going to see some ecosystem stuff in a second or two. But now you can choose. The fact that I use one, it's like email, you know. I remember email. If I wanted to send an email to somebody, they had to use the same email system that I used. Which is crazy when you now think about that. I mean, I send an email from Gmail or Outlook or any one of a myriad of email systems. And it doesn't matter to me what you use. It just, that's taken care of. That's the world of Solid. Applications don't need to worry about your data. They can just create value, and you manage which applications can see the data. And this is how an ecosystem is expected to look. I hope you can see my cursor, but today we have this, you know, all the vendors work this way, where your identity and where your data is stored and the application they built, it all exists in their infrastructure in one place. In Solid, you have an identity market because we imagine you are, just as you do today, you have an identity because you work for somebody. They give you an identity. You operate for, you know, a company. They give you a pod. You have an identity as an individual working for that company. You also have government identity. Your driver's license or your social security number or your government issued ID. And then you could be members of a club. You could have a relationship with a bank, but you can have multiple identities, but they're all unique to you. And then there are applications that can be built, all kinds of applications. I'm going to share you some in a few slides that can be built. And there's the data. The kinds of data that is important to you, and it's different types of data, obviously. You can see some examples here. Health data, financial data, government data, could be friends and family data. And this is how it works. Your pod is the way where your identity so is determined by an ID provider. The application doesn't need to worry about anything other than the features. Doesn't need to worry about where the data is stored. And the data Well, where you store it is entirely up to you. You can decide. Me, I would want some of my data managed and I will pay for it if it's important to me. Other data I expect the government is going to look after for me. Other data I don't mind if it's open, it's free because it's pictures of my dog, or I don't have a dog, but you know, it's pictures that I don't mind anybody sees them, they're public. But it's all interoperable. So in this scenario, you can see the same user over here has got various applications accessing the same data. So I have one set of data about me, and I decide what these applications can see of that data. And what that means is a software developer, if I came up with a new application that took some of my health data and merged it with some of my contact data, then I can create new ways to service users. I could say, hey, you know, I see some of your health data. I don't need to take it away. I see what your fitness regime looks like. I see where you live demographically. I know that's a place that has problems right now with fevers or some natural disaster. And I can make a decision for you that's a consequence of all of that data without me needing to take it away. And so the ecosystem we expect will be an ID marketplace, government issues ID and so on, applications that will be built, written by application developers, and a way to store all of your data that makes sense, that you're happy with. I'm going to show you one that's real now where this exists. So the net, or for this piece of the presentation in summary, today, data silos. And it's not their fault. It's not the fault of the vendors. It's just the way the web turned out. That they take your data, you exist in a little piece of you exists in Facebook, another different piece in LinkedIn, another in, and so on. And the only people that doesn't live in is your hands, it will live in theirs. And where we go is here. When you have your data in your pod, all this data, but now it exists in your hands. And you can get all this value from these applications by allowing them to access your data. It's this, the essence of it is this decentralization of the web. And think about the implications of that for this stuff. Where organizations don't need to take your data away to give you good value. They don't need to become experts in privacy and law and security. They just want to sell you a pair of shoes. And now they can, because they don't need to take your data away to do it. And the same, of course, with, if you look at HIPAA, you know, one of the pilots we have in the UK, the problem in UK healthcare, we're going to see it in a few slides, is that it's really, really difficult to service patients because most of the people trying to help you aren't allowed to talk to each other. And they're certainly not allowed to share data about you. How crazy is that? They don't want to help you, but they can't talk. How are we going to do it then? So what's Solid for? I think of it, the web, as three constituencies. There's users, like we all are. We want to get value out of our data. We want it to service us. There's developers who want to write applications for us. And there's the organizations, oftentimes, who pay these developers to write ways to interact with our data. And every one of these constituents gets more value now because I get, sure, control is important to me, but it's what it gives me that's more important, which is utility out of my data. And developers are happy because with one API and no responsibility for storing data, they can write software for me. And organizations, companies, government agencies, they're happy because they get use of existing data that they have, but it's not combined. Now they can combine it. They don't have to become experts in privacy and GDPR and so on. They can offer users different ways to interact, which are more valuable. And they can come up with new lines of business. So Solid's for everyone. And before I show you the use cases, let me just explain who Inrupt are. We put together a company of experts to help understand Solid, figure out use cases that may be sensible for Solid, and then actually build them. So what we're trying to do is help hosting companies, software developers, organizations, governments use Solid in a way that's productive because of the experts we've assembled. And the first thing we did is we built an enterprise grade version of all of this. So I'll explain where in a minute or two, but we've got countries evaluating rolling out Solid now with confidence because we built it enterprise grade. The open source version is fabulous and it continues to flourish, but in parallel, we rebuilt it in the kind of technology that corporations and massive organizations want to see to have confidence that it can service tens of millions of users. And I won't bore you with this, but the one thing I did want to point to is, so Tim, you know, of course, and me, I try my best to bring resources to this, but along with that is somebody responsible for security, an individual called Bruce Schneier. And Bruce is particularly well known for cybersecurity. He's very well regarded. We brought also an individual called Davi Ottenheimer, who is very involved in digital ethics. So the technology is one challenge, application of the technology in a way that helps with privacy and ethical issues is as important, and that's what Davi does. And then we have Emmett, who was at MasterCard and rolled out global applications and so on. These people are particularly dedicated for their individual skills, but together I think make for a good team, which gives you vision. You get expertise about how to link all the data. You get expertise about application to use cases in a secure way and way that considers digital rights and privacy. You get the confidence to know you can roll it out at scale because of the experience that's gone into it. And with data management, it's our lifeblood. I mean, we spend most of our time thinking about where the data goes and how's it secure, how's it exposed to users in the right way, and so on. We do some other things. We're the principal sponsor for the open source community. So that's what this slide says. We also, literally today, we're working with governments, 5 countries now. We work with partners. We actually do work with Google, and we do work with Microsoft, literally do, working on projects. And then we work with system integrators on the ground who want to build projects for customers. We obviously work with developers inside corporations, inside government agencies, in the open source community. We do spend some time with users, but not directly. We don't build end user applications speculatively, you know, fitness applications. We help corporations build applications for their users, but we don't independently build end user applications. And we work with investors. There's a lot of interest in helping this from a financial perspective. So we work with investors too to see if we can help them get involved in this. So let me switch gears, if I could, and talk to you about some of the use cases. I mentioned this earlier, and I really did want to just underscore that technology here is one thing, but there are a lot of important considerations to make about privacy and ethics and so on. And that's, we spend a lot of time. The technology, by comparison to this, sometimes easiest. And when you think about some of our use cases, and I'll explain in a minute, you'll see what I mean. But so here's some regional use cases. I tried to do it by, they're either countrywide use cases, they might be agency or ministries within the country, or they might be commercial. And I separate them to give you some idea of both. In Europe, these are projects. The ones that you see in blue, they're already underway. The ones that are not in blue are in discussion, and we're finalizing now the scope. But the Ministry of Justice is a country in Europe that wants to provide a system. When you die today, it's really difficult on your family to gather all the information that they need to have to hand. And somebody gets granted what's called, in this country, power of attorney to act as your successor. And they need to get all of the details about you and your passwords and all kinds of stuff. This use case is to put all of that in a pod. And when you die, it's already predetermined who will get your power of attorney, and all of the legal stuff is already in place in preparation for you dying. It's also important in the event you have an accident or you suffer a disease and you're no longer mentally able, this system grants that to your assigned individual, and now they are responsible for this stuff. So that's with the Ministry of Justice. We have multiple projects now to do with COVID, and more particularly patient records. One of them you may have heard about in the UK. I don't know why it's not blue, but that's with the health service in the UK. We have another one in US, exactly the same, to provide health records to patients. There's a tax agency in another country to do with how you make your tax submissions. And then the other two you can see, it's all about granting government services to individuals so that they don't need to repetitively keep, you know, creating an identity for the individual. You have one citizen ID, you have one citizen pod, and it becomes the way where everybody will interact with you. And I'm going to show you what they're doing in Belgium, which is the premier has already announced every citizen of Flanders, excuse me, a piece of Belgium, will be getting this. And we're working hard over there right now. Closer to home for you. One, I said earlier, some of the things here that are important to, there's a country we work with, and the judicial system wants to use Solid for a number of cases. But what they start with is for victims of domestic abuse, where individuals who are suffering will be given a pod. And in the pod, they keep all of their details of abuse, and they can make that information available to the right people at the right time, so that, you know, it could be, you know, text messages or pictures of physical abuse or the evidence, if you like, of what they experience is only in their hands. And I say that it has the technology we can do in a number of ways, but now it creates issues or questions that need to be answered about what's the individual's assurance that only they will be able to see this? And how do we do it so that they can access it from their phone but if their phone gets in the hands of their spouse can't get access to this material. And if they want to immediately become anonymous, they can flick a switch and all evidence about this disappears if they feel that it's appropriate for them to do so. So that's, and then in North America too, we have Project Pandemic Response. We already explained we can't move quickly enough to redress for this state in the U.S. They want us to do it now, and we just don't have the capacity to do it now. So what we said is we'll build it properly for the next pandemic. And so earlier today, actually, I sat in on the call where they said, let's go. And the defense agency, it's not intended as a technology of war. This is, I can't say that won't ever happen, but it's about former soldiers who, and all their records and so on. And then there's stuff going on. I mean, this slide is a week old and it's already out of date. So I want to leave you with just some the realities of what we're doing. This is the Flanders government. Yeah, literally what's going on. If you're a citizen in Flanders right now, this is what's beginning to become evident to you, where you have a login and you log in and it becomes your gateway into the government services. And the government is populating pods with the information they have about you. So it's expected it'll be the way you interact initially with government provided services, but also organizations. So we're working with some Belgian companies who want to access these citizens using this technology, and assuming the government is happy with them doing it, then they'd like to go to the same people and offer them services. And once you have the pod, it already exists. I like to describe it as like electricity. When it used to be lights in our homes were with gas. You know, you put the gas on and turned it up and you got light. And homes were burning down with fires. And there was a big industry creating better gas lights. And along came this guy in the U.S. I'm sure it was a multiple, but in the U.S. they had this guy called Edison, and he has this idea for a light bulb. If you have a light bulb, you don't need all the gas. But in order to get the light bulb to switch on, you have to provide electricity to the home. So he did, just to get those light bulbs to switch on and off. But if you fast forward 120 odd years and look around you in your home, all of the devices you have, because you have electricity, he couldn't have imagined what was going to happen. So I think what I'd like to describe this stuff as is providing electricity to the home. And literally that's what Flanders are doing. They have said digital data is like gas, water, and electricity. Now they got a fourth one. It's data. And it's this technology they're using to deliver it to the citizens. And then I think this got a lot of publicity when people understood about it, but the health service in the UK would like to get all the information they have about you and put it in your hands, and so that you can make it available to your caregivers. So those who give you healthcare can interact with this data in a way that it's impossible today. And then what they also are trying to do, and that's the slides about the NHS. And to the other side there, National Westminster, which is a big bank, the big bank are saying, well, once patients have got the pod, we'd like to offer them some financial services. which is why the NatWest stuff isn't the stuff on the left there, that's deployed. Not many places yet, but they're rolling it out. The stuff on the right is a proposal that the bank is making to use the NHS access, to use the NHS electricity to the user to sell the device to the user. So now to the commercial stuff, maybe five more minutes. Telecoms, we're working with one of the biggest carriers in the world who want to put it on their mobile phones so that users will have access to a new world of data through their mobile phone where the data stays with them. That's one example. Banking, I talked about National Westminster. Also, MasterCard. We did a pilot already with MasterCard to give access to the web for refugees. When they leave their country, they don't generally take laptops, but they get to wherever they go. And now they need a digital identity. And so the pilot was to prove how, with a token, a USB, they can have a pod. And that becomes the way they begin to get it. You know, they land in a country, they get the pod. And now as they begin to get interaction with the country, it builds out from the pod. The media example is the British Telecom, British Broadcasting Company. And they've got a system that's just about to go into the hands of customers it's a better advertising kind of motion where users electively can opt in a way that the advertising world finds exciting. The retail, literally before this call, we just got the contract from a big retailer in the US who wants to provide a pod for every customer who buys stuff from them, so that when the customer leaves the store, all of their purchasing records go into their pod. So whatever they bought is recorded in the pod so that they can easily now, and it doesn't go to the vendor, it stays in their pod, but now the user gets to build out details of the material they bought, and if they want to reorder it, it's easy to do. The insurance example is a company out of Switzerland who want to develop a new way to interact with their customers. And the pharmaceuticals company is for drugs trials initially, so that you can become a volunteer for drug testing without all your information going to the vendor, but they get the results of the tests. All these examples, if all they were doing it for is to get out from under GDPR, they'd do it. But that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it for the innovation. It just so happens. The good news as well is now you don't take away the data. You don't have to worry about a lot of the implications of taking people's data and looking after it appropriately. So lots of possibility here. And the problem is, where on earth do you start? It's the conversation I most often have with organizations. We really want to do this. Where do we start? So I hope I've given you some things to think about. I apologize if some of it was difficult because of I have no Portuguese, but hopefully it gives you things to think through. And Inrupt is here to help. I mean, we're a company, you know, we want to make money in a fair way and everything else, but that's only a piece of what we do. The majority of what we do, helping people understand what Solid is and how they might consider it for their citizens, for their customers, and so on. And that was my last slide.